Okay, great. So let's begin. So we're discussing the topic of Demai. Again, just to remind everybody the background a little bit. Let's try to say a little bit more about Demai tonight and speak a little also about some aspects of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So the issue of Demai, the Gemara says in Sota that Yochanan Kohen Gadol did a survey. And in his survey, he found out, or he discovered, obviously something that he suspected, because otherwise unlikely that he would have, you know, been motivated to take the survey to begin with. He discovered that many Amei HaAretz are mekel, they are lenient, they're not careful when it comes to Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, not so much Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola they were careful about. But Trumas Maaser, which is taken from Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Rishon itself, and Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani, etc., these they were very lax when it came to these particular issues. And therefore, he instituted a takana called Demai. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos says that Demai is from the language of Domai, Mazeh, basically, meaning we're not sure what it is, meaning we're not sure whether there was a hafrasha, and therefore we're dealing with chulin mitukanim, which can be simply eaten, or whether or not we're dealing with tevel, something which has not yet been subject to hafrasha. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol made this takana that because of the uncertainty that a Talmud Chacham, a Chaver, who acquires Tevuah of Eretz Yisrael in some form or another, most forms, is obligated to be Mafresh and cannot rely on the fact that there was previously a Hafrashas Trumas of Isras. That's the Takana. We got into this a little bit Derech Agav, in terms of Takala, but that's not our topic anymore. The Gemara then discusses what is the status, whether this takon of Demai was also made in the context of Taroves. Let's say you have Tzvua, which is Safek Hufrash, and it gets mixed into a, you know, some sort of a concoction, you know, a wine, a soup, you know, anything. Is there a Gzera of Taroves Demai? So the Gemara ultimately concludes that there's not, but even then there's a debate between the Rambam and Rashi, which we already explored, and that is whether or not we're talking about a case where there is tam, and what we're saying is that we're more mekel in Taroves Demai than we are in other Dvarim She'osar Lecholosam, because typically we say tam ki ikar, and here we're not, or the opposite, which is the view of the Rambam, which is that we continue to say Tam Ki Ikar. We say that even in Taroves Demai. But the Gemara thought originally that we would be even more Machmir in Demai, and that we would be Machmir in Taroves Demai even when there was no Tam. So either way, you have a fascinating argument between the Rambam and Rashi. And this was one of the reasons, together with the Takala issue and some several other things, that we began to explore the nature of the Takana of Demai. And what I was trying to establish last week was that there are two opposite perspectives that seem to exist side by side in Demai. One is Lahakel and the other is Lahachmir. The one that is Lahakel is the fact that not only are we dealing with a Dindrabanan, but we're actually dealing with a Miut, not even with a Safek Hashakol. Really, the Gemara says in a few places that it was miut Amei HaAretz who weren't mafresh. So it's very rare to make a takana for a miut. It does sometimes happen. And there are two ways that you can go about looking. You can look, basically, at this phenomenon. One is that we're already being so machmir by being choshesh for a miut, that the takana from there on would actually be defined by kula, because we're not even dealing with a safek hashakol. And that works very well with the view of the Rashi, the Meiri, that, for example, Tarov is Demai, we don't apply the din of Kol Tarov Kula, which is Tam Ki'ikar, we're more Mako, because the whole thing isn't even a real Safek. There's no Bracha, because it's a real, not a real Safek. It's only a miyud, according to the Gemara in Masachat Shabbos, which we'll get back to in a minute. Moreover, Machila Nesuanim, V'yasuachsanya Demai, you can use Demai for the Dalad Minim. You could theoretically fulfill your mitzvah of Matzah, Matzah's mitzvah on Pesach with Demai. So there's good reason to think that Demai isn't just a typical Issur Drabanan, that it's actually more makel than a typical Issur Drabanan. But according to the Rambam, the opposite is true. It seems like we are we thought to be very machmir in Demai, because the Maskana were saying there's no Demai b'taroves. What that means is if there's no Tam Ki Ikar. So it sounds like the Havamina was that even if there's no Tam Ki Ikar, as long as there's some Demai mixed in, then we're going to be machmir. Why would you be machmir in a Din d'Rabbanan like Demai, especially which is only a miyot, even more than your machmir in Din d'Oraisa? The answer may be, because imkvar azkvar, once already there's no safek hashakol, and nonetheless we're being machmir, what that shows is that we're so risk-averse when it comes to tevel, we take extraordinary steps to ensure that we're not violating this iser. Maybe because it's about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Karka. Maybe that's the reason. It's not a mitzvah bi'alma. You know, it's a mitzvah that really goes to the core of Jewish nationhood, you know, in a certain way. And either way, that risk aversion is the reason why we're gozer, even though there's a miyut, but also maybe the reason why we'll continue to be machmir, any trace of tvua, the halacha, we don't pask in this way, but maybe that was the pshat according to the Havamin and the Rambam. So in light of this, we began to look last week at other indications, including the discussion of the Malar Roim on our daf, and the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. What about a Svek Sveka when it comes to Demai? And the idea is very, again, the same idea. Typically, Svek Sveka is Lakula. So let's say you give ingredients to an Am Haaretz, and you're concerned, let's say you have legitimate reason to be concerned, that he may have swapped the ingredients for other ingredients. In which case, since he's an Am Haaretz, you would then have to be mafresh, because he's not using your ingredients, which you know you were already mafresh. He's using, possibly, his own ingredients. So what ends up is that there's a Svek Sveka. Safek hichlif, safek lo hichlif. Vaflim timtzalomar hichlif, shema iser ha'am ha'aretz, shema lo iser. So it's Svek Sveka, and Svek Sveka is always the hakel. So that's what the Ravid says in a similar case. The Ravid says, if you have Svek Sveka, safek chiluf, he says it about a non-Jew, you bring your tvua to the grinder. Let's say there's a professional grinder in town, or the mill person, the person who owns the mill. Is a mill the thing that grinds? No? I don't know if there are any farmers or people from farm cities, but so I think it's a mill. So basically you bring your tvua to the mill, to the person who grinds, you leave it there. He has, you know, orders coming in all the time where he's going to do the grinding. And then when you get it back from him, do you have to be mafresh or not? I mean, you dropped off the tvua, you know you were mafresh. It's exactly the same circumstance. So the Ravid says, if that were the case, if that were the issue, it would be Svek Sveka, and you'd be potter from Demai. And the Rambam obviously disagrees. And the question is, why? Another chumrah of the Rambam. It seems like the chumras of the Rambam are all connected. So what's it based on? So both the Kesef Mishnah and the Rikorkus, we read them last week, give different, slightly different suggestions, but both suggest that we're machmir in Demai. The fact that we are metakin alamiyot already shows chumra. So just like we don't care about the rov, we don't care about the svek sveika, says the Kesef Mishnah. Or the way that the Mari Korkus puts it, is that mitaknim d'mai ala safek. Whenever there's a safek, there's a vadai chiyuv d'mai. And therefore, whenever there's a safek, there's a vadai chiyuv, there's no svek sveika. And I mentioned the parallel last week of bedikas chametz, which is nitkan ala safek, according to some Rishonim. We'll talk more about it next week. Meaning, what happens if you have, you know, a 50-50 doubt about bedikas chametz, right? So there are tons of gemaras in first parak of Psachim. The debate in the Rishonim is whether these gemaras are talking about situation where the person already did bittul or is going to do bittul, or without bittul. If there's bittul, then the whole suffix is drabanan, about a din drabanan of bedika. If there's no bittul, then it could be about a din daraisa. So many of the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosis, the Ravid, Inus Hatzagas on the Rambam, say a lot of the cases of the Gemara must be cases where there's no bittul, because otherwise it would be safek bedika schametz drabanan, and it should be lakula. But the Ravid on the Rif and the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka seem to take the view that bedika schametz was nitkana ala safek. That the idea behind bedikas chametz is not that you might have chametz in there. It's that if you're not sure, then it's not a bais baduk. You have to make your territory, right, chametz-free zone. And as long as you don't know that it's chametz-free, it's not chametz-free. So that's a din vadai. So anyways, I don't want to go into all the detail, but so this is the major debate about demai. And what I was suggesting last week, which gets us back to where we need to be, is that really there seems to be an argument in the Rishonim and in the Achronim about whether Demai is a very Mekel Drabanan or a very Machmir Drabanan, whether it's treated as a Vadai or even less than a Safek. But there also seem to be Shitos that have to answer for both sides of this debate, meaning that have to somehow resolve the contradiction, you know, between the different sources. What I was trying to suggest for that was that as a chefsa shel iser, as an iser, as macholos asuros, it's not even macholos asuros drabanan. It's less than, let's say, meiser yerek, or davar shenizgadel beotzitz she'ino nakov. Right? Meaning there are, as we know, Isurim Drabanan. This is not an Isur Drabanan in that sense. Had it been, then the halacha of Ein Machilin, of Machilin Aniyim V'Achsanya Demai wouldn't make any sense. You wouldn't be able to use it, even if it was only Asurim Drabanan, if it was Macholos Asurim Drabanan, you very well possibly wouldn't be able to use it for Dalad Minim, for Matzah, for an Eruv, etc. So maybe in terms of achila, in terms of chefza shel ochel and chefza shel iser, that it's very meiko. It doesn't qualify even as an iser drabana. However, what it does qualify for is an iser gavra, or even before that, a chovas hafrasha. Chachamim said that you're obligated to be mafresh in a circumstance where there's a safek tevo. And if you're not, then there's no heter, achilas agavra. So while there's no chefza shel iser, there is no heter achila, absent a hafrasha. So I think this is really the kind of the combination that explains almost all of the evidence, and we'll see a little bit more about that this evening. Okay, so to do that, I just want to add a couple of more sources. There are many, many more. But let's discuss a couple of them very quickly. So I think I already mentioned, we already mentioned the Gemara in Shabbos. So it's interesting to note that, just zero in on the Rambam Shita. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel, if you look here on the Mar Makomos, I'm guessing it's page 3, Zev? Yeah? Okay, I think it's page 3. Talmud Babli Masechet Shabbos Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "My Mavarech, Mavarech Hasher Kedushanu B'Mitzvot V'Tzivon V'Hadat V'Yechid Chanukah." The Gemara says, "V'Heichan Tzivanu." Where does how could you say V'Tzivanu when it comes to Mitzvah Drabanan? Says the Gemara, "Avi Omar Lo Sasur from Nechen Yomar Shal Avichav Yaged Kaz Kenach Avi Yomer Lach." There are two different possible makoros. You know, the Drabanan, the enterprise of Drabanans are kind of supported, if you will, by dinam daraisa, lo sasur shalavich vicha. So then the Gemara says, "Masav Rav Amram, hadmai ma'arvin mishtatvim bo mevarchin olav zamnin olav mafrishin olsar rom uben hashmashos v'yam is called rabbanan by bracha, right? Hacha kikoy arom hechi mevarich v'beinan v'haya machnecha kadosh v'leka." So the Gemara says, how could he be mafresh maestros without being properly clothed? That would be a violation of Ahaya Machanecha Kadosh. Be that he's making a bracha, unless he's not making a bracha. So why wouldn't you make a bracha on Demai? You make a bracha on Neiros Chanukah. You could say Vitzivanu to Dindra Abanan, Lo Sasur, Shalavicha, etc. And the Gemara gives two answers to this question. Amar Abaya, Vadai de Divrayim, Boy Bracha. Safek de Divrayim, Lo Boy Bracha. The Gemara says, yes, when it comes to Lahad like Ner Shal Chanukah, or the way the Rambam brings this, we'll see in a moment, Halel, these are Dinam Drabanan, and you could say Vitzivanu, Eruv Chavshilin, right, and Eruv Chatzeros. You can make Brachos, because even though they're Drabanan, there's still a basis for saying Vitzivanu. But these are all Chiyuvei Drabanan Vadai. What about a situation where we're dealing with Safek? So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Maya is. The Maya is Safek. And in Safek, there's no Bracha. That's Abaya's answer. So it's fascinating that Abaya calls the Maya Safek, when the Gemara in different places seems to indicate that it's actually even a mir. But you could say kol shekein. If ein mevarchin ala safek, then kol shekein she'ein mevarchin ala mir. Okay, that is the Gemara. Then the Gemara has its second answer, because the Gemara is troubled by the question of Yontav Sheni Shel Galios. The Gemara asks, by Yontav Sheni, right, the safek divreim hu, uboy bracha, we do make brachos in Yontav Sheni Shel Galios, even though it's only a safek Midrabanan. Says the Gemara, Hasam Kecha de Lozulebe. If you want to stick with Abaya's answer, the answer is Yontav Sheni is different, because if we wouldn't allow Bracha, we wouldn't take it seriously. But then the Gemara says that Rava Amar, Rov Ame Aretz Ma'asrinein. Basically, what Rava says, this is a very critical machlokas Amaroim, which ends up being a massive machlokas in Shonim and Poskim. Because what Rav is basically saying is, in Achanami, something like Yontav Sheni Shel Galios, not a special din, that's part of the norm. Even a Safek Durabanan requires a bracha. So why not Demai? He says, because Demai isn't even a Safek, it's less than that. It's a Mir. Rov Ami Aretz are actually Ma'asrin. So Rava accentuates, presumably Abaya didn't disagree with the facts. It's the same survey in the end of the day. Question is whether or not that survey, you know, produced the result of Rov or the result of Safek. Clearly it produced one result. So if Rava says that it's Rov, Ma'asra, presumably Abaya agrees. Abaya is saying, treat it as a Safek. And Rava is saying it's even less than that, it's a mir. But if you had a safek drabanan, like Yontav Sheni Shel Galios, then in Achanami, right? You would make a bracha. This is a huge nafkamina. Okay. So if you look at the Rambam seems to paskin here like Abaye, not like Rabba. Look in the Mar Makomos. So the Rambam here, Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah Perek Gimel Halacha Hey, the one right after the Gemara. So the Rambam says, "B'chol Yom B'Yom Mishmonas Hayom Ma'elu," referring to Chanukah. "Gomrim Esahalo L'Mevarach L'Fanav Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kinim Melech Halam Asher Kedushanu V'Mitzosav V'Tzivanu Ligmar Sahalo Bein Yachid Bein Tzibur Afal Pishakriyas Halo Medivrei Sofrim." It's interesting. The Gemara says it about Chaneres Chanukah. The Rambam says it about Halo around Chanukah time. I've talked about this many times. I think it's very significant. The Rambam felt that you could kind of interchange these two ideas because I think that's why he puts Hilchos Halel in the middle of Hilchos Chanukah. But that's not for now. So the Rambam says that even though Kriyas Halel is the mitzvah of Divrei Sofrim, Bevarich Halel Asher Kedushanu B'Tosafot V'Tzivanu Kederek Shem Bevarich Halel Megillah V'Al Ha'Eruv Shekol Vaday Shal Divreim Bevarichin Alav. So clearly, the Rambam seems to be saying that only a Vaday Divreim Bevarichin Alav. Al Dover Shum B'Divreim V'Ikar Siyasan B'Pnei HaSafek Kigon Meiser D'mai There Ein Bevarichin Alav. So the Rambam says, why don't you make a bracha on Demai? Because of Safek. Wow. V'lam mevarchen al yantav sheni, v'heim lo tiknu elim b'pnei ha-safek. He's quoting Abaye in the Gemara. Kedei shelo yizalzelu bo. Says the Ravid, Amrav Ram, zeh atam l'abaye. Aval Rava, chalak alav amar shein tam l'demai, elim b'pnei sherov ame aretz, Ma'asrin, aval safek acher, afilu b'drabanan mevarchin. So this is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid that rages throughout Yad HaChazaka. You have it here in Hilchos Chanukah, as we saw. Also have it again in Hilchos Mila. In Hilchos Mila, right, the Rambam and the Ravid discuss when you have a safek and you have to do a Mila misafek, right, whether you make a bracha or not. And the Rambam says no, because it's a bracha la safek. And the Ravid says, you do make a bracha la safek, as long as you have to repeat the performance, because that's a safek daraisa or whatever, you're also going to make the bracha. It's only when you have a miut, like demai, that you don't make the bracha. So this is the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. This is the Rambam and the Ravid in Chanukah. This is the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Mila. It's also the Rambam and the Ravid. They talk about, Androgynous and Tumtum and, Shemini Atzeres, making a bracha. Whenever you have this phenomenon of Safek Midivrayim, there's this debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, with the exception of Kriyashma. This debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether you paskin like Abaye or Rava. So why does the Rambam paskin like Abaye? Very strange. Moreover, as I say, in the end of the day, Abaye agrees with Rava on the facts. Ad kedei kach, I'm not going to go into it now, but if you look at other Gemaras in Shabbos and Gemara, there are a bunch of Gemaras, like four or five Gemaras. In half of the Gemara's Abaye treats Demai like Safek, and Rava says it's a Miyut. In the other half of the Gemara's the opposite. Abaye says it's like a Miyut, and Rava treats it like a Safek. And the Bali Tosis and other Mepharshim, they all weigh in. So what's going on with that whole idea? Clearly, factually, it's a Miyut. Conceptually, do we treat it as a Miyut or do we treat it as a Safek? But I think at the end, the short answer is that treating it as a miut, number one, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be mekel, like we saw in the Kesef Mishnah and the Mari Korkas, etc. there, you might say, well, we're so risk averse when it comes to this particular halacha, we should be machmir. The haraya, we made a takana alamiya. That's number one. And number two, based on my explanation, is the following idea. What I was suggesting was, it's like the language of the Mari Korkas, demai, the circumstance of demai is some sort of a suffix. Even a miyut. But even if they were talking to Torah's vadai, the way that they did it was, they were metakein a vadai kol mokom shei suffix. It starts by being a suffix. And as a suffix, it then the requirement of hafrasha, and as a matir for achilas agabra, that's a didvadai. But the chefs itself maybe is never more than suffik. Maybe it's even less because it's a miut. So it's not really machalas asuros. Therefore, aniyim v'achsanya eat demai. So this is part of, now this idea in the Rambam is also reflected, I think, in two other points in the Rambam. So if you look back again on the same, this is already the bottom of page 3, or maybe it's already the beginning of page 4, I'm not sure. But you look at the Rambam, again, the same halacha that we just discussed, but Perek Tes Halacha Dalad, the first one in a way. Rambam says, Kishim Afrishin Min Admai, Shumas Maiser, Maiser Sheni, Ein Mevarchin Aleim, you don't make a bracha, Lefishu Safek. Therefore, he doesn't need to be clothed when he does this. But basically, the idea is that the Rambam again didn't say it's a miut. What does he say? That it's a suffix. It's very fascinating. Then, if you look again, look at Halacha Aleph. Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. So what's curious is, here the Rambam formulates the Takon of Demai for the first time. He quotes the survey of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. What would we have expected? The results of the survey. Don't you want to know who's winning in the election? According to the polls? You say, I don't want to rely on the polls, or you don't want to know. That's fine, spoilers. But if you already commissioned the poll, and you mention the poll, shouldn't you mention what the actual findings were? But what's fascinating is if you look at the Gemara in Sota Memches, which is the original Gemara, the Gemara itself doesn't say anything about the numbers. They just said that they found that Amei Haaretz were mekel, they were lax in these areas. Didn't say how many. It's only when you get to Abaya and Rava that you get into the Rove issue. And it doesn't seem like there's any argument about it. But it was deemed inconsequential, interestingly, in Sota. But it's even more tamua. You say, okay, Gemara, you know, you have a Gemara here, a Gemara there, they're snippets. But the Rambam is writing a code. And as we know, no one's better organized than the Rambam. And he wants to present the background for this halacha. What do we expect? You know, that we'd be given the full colorful facts. But the Rambam omits that it's a rove, even though he surely knows it and agrees. So look at Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Instead, he does something else, which is fascinating. B'mei Yochanan Kohen Gadol, this is Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, the beginning of his discussion of Demai, Hilchos Maaser. B'mei Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shahaya Achar Shimon HaTzadik, Sholchu Bezna Gadol, Ubadku, B'chol Gvul Yisrael. They sent out a survey. Umatu Shekol Zahirim B'truma Gedola, Umafrishin Asa. They found out that everybody is careful, scrupulous when it comes to Truma Gedola. There's a certain, you know, understanding or taboo or stigma. No one's going to eat Tevel, you know, absent the hafrasha of Truma Gedola. You have to give the Kohanim theirs. Maybe they're still, affected by the Korach story, for all I know. Right? Aval, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, Hayu amei ha'aretz miYisrael mekilin, how many? Doesn't say. Mekilin alatzman v'loy mafrish. Lefika gazru. So what's the gzeira? Shelo ye neman ala maestros, ela nashim nemanim. Avlahami aretz peroseim, safek, the ein nemanim lo musarim hein, the zewa nikra, the mai. Okay, so basically what the Rambam says, or leaves you the impression, that it's safek, not that it's miut. Again, legally, because although it's miut, we're treating it as a safek. B, we're treating it as more than a safek. In a way, we're treating it as a safek, which creates a vadai chiyuv d'mai. So instead of focusing on the numbers, what does he focus on? An issue that is much more amorphous and controversial, a key topic in Demai, but a subtle one, and that is the question of Nemanus. Because one could have said that what is Demai? Oh, you get Tavua from an Amma Aretz. Can you assume that he was Mafresh? But let's say he's standing there and you ask him, Erecha Nem Bisurin doesn't apply when it comes to Demai? According to the Ram, that's the main point of the Takana's Demai. And in cases where there is no Takana of Demai, like Tarova's Demai and other things, you have to look carefully in the Rambam. That means you can trust it, or that means that you can ask him and we'll believe him. But we still need him to acknowledge that it isn't Teva. The point I'm trying to make is that the Rambam may very well be extremely consistent in this whole topic. Okay. Okay. I want to get to another issue, so I'm going to just mention one or two other things very quickly. Yeah.
If it's neat kind of a sophic, why don't you make a broth on it?
Maybe because it's a suffix first. I mean, unlike Bedikas Chametz.
Yeah. Right.
I think because Bedikas Chametz is still a standalone. And meaning they created a new institution, Drabanan, called Bedikas Chametz. And in Hafrashas Demai, the Din Vadai Drabanan is to be Mafresh again. But it isn't a new, it's not like Chanukah, and it's not Megillah, you know, and it's not Halal, and it's not Eruv, and it's not even Bedikas Chametz. Where because of the Rabbana, they created a Maisa Mitzvah. Here, there's no Maisa Mitzvah. You know, there's the Maisa Mitzvah of Hafrasha, and here it's still Misafek, just that they insisted on it. So they took away the character of Chefta Shal Isur, and even a Maisa Mitzvah from it. I think that's the idea.
Doesn't the Rambam say you don't make a bracha on it when you're mafresh from Demai?
Well, basically the Mishnah implies it and the Gemara says it explicitly.
Right.
And the Rambam codifies it. The right. Chiddush of the Rambam is not that you don't make a bracha on Demai. Everybody agrees that you don't, because the Mishnah says that you can be mafresh when you're not clothed.
Right.
So the Gemara says explicitly that proves that there's no bracha. The question is, why? So Abaya said because it's safek. Rava said because it's mia. What the Ravid said was you would expect a paskin like Rava, and it actually is miut. So why not say it that way? The chiddush of the Rambam is that he says it's safek, and that he learns, and the nafkamina is, what about other cases of safek drabanan, where there's no miut? Like androgynous or whatever it is, or safek mila, where it's not midin miyut. The answer is in all those cases, the Rambam says safek, there's no bracha. And the Ravid in all those cases says, well, demai is different because it's a miyut. Had it only been a suffix, there would have been a bracha. But everybody agrees that there's no bracha on Demai. The only question is why. Okay. So this is a massive, massive topic. I'm not going to go into it all. Just let me say something about the Gemaras in Sukkah and in Psachim without going into detail. But I think the Rambam again is turning the Shittaso on them for Od Chazon LaMoed. Maybe before one of the actual Moedim. Maybe the Chazon should be Bamoed. The Gemara says in a few places, you know, in Shabbos and Sukkah and Psachim, Abraham, when the Gemara wants to explain why it is that you can use Demai for, you know, Shitufei Mavos and Erevin, why it is that you can be Mitzare for Azimun, right? And B'diavad, you can even make a bracha, even according to people like the Rambam. Why it is, again, that you can use it for the Dalad Minim. After all, Dalad Minim, you're not allowed to use any Chetzo, which is Asur, either Asur Bachila or maybe Asur Bahana, but it doesn't matter, even if it's Drabanan. So why are you allowed to use the Dalad Minim or Matzah? So the Gemara in all these places, the formulations are a little different, and that's probably what triggered the Rambam. But roughly speaking, in all these places, the Gemara seems to invoke the fact that Aniyim and Achsanya are Ochlim Demai. Since Aniyim and Achsanya can eat a Demai, therefore, even a regular guy, you know, a non-Ani, a non-Achsanya, can use it for Shetufa Mavos, can be Mitzari for a Zimun with it, can use it for an Esrog, can use it for Matzah, it's not considered to be Muktzah on Shabbos, etc. So in some of the Gemaras, I'm just going to tell you this B'kitzur, in some of the Gemaras, that's all the Gemara says, that it's Ra'ui, because an Achsanya and an Ani can eat it. Of course, the question is obvious. You know, if the Gemara was talking about the Dalad Minim or the Eruv or the, you know, Bracha of an Ani and Achsanya, then we understand. But we're talking about a regular person. So who cares? In a couple of the Gemaras, like in Sukkah, the Gemara has an extra line where they say, Kivin di boy mafkir lehu nikse. Think he could give up all his, his earthly property, and then he would be an Ani, and then he'd be able to eat Demai. So since he could do that, therefore, even though he's not an Ani, it's still considered Roy, because he has a pathway, right, to become an Ani. So, of course, there are two ways to, this is not without its problems. I mean, I'll just highlight the issue very quickly. And let's say for some particular reason he didn't have that opportunity. Right? Let's say he made a shvuah, whatever it is. For technical reasons, he couldn't give up his property quickly enough. Does that matter? And even if he could, but he's not. It's not like most people are on Ian. Right? You have to work hard to get rid of your property to make yourself into an Ani. Baruch Hashem. Right? I'm just trying to hide, meaning if you don't have the extra line, it's certainly difficult to explain. What is the kula of Aniyim and Achsanya have to do with anything? If you do have the extra line, what about a case where you can't execute it? Or even if you can, since you're not likely to, right, it represents an extraordinary, you know, transformation. You could transform yourself, okay, but you haven't. It's not like you're naturally an Ani and an Achsanya and you're being propped up as somebody who's not. But what's going on? The Rambam omits this most cases and has it once or twice. Again, it's interesting who has it when. It's an interesting study. I don't want to get into the details of it now because it's not so important. The details are not important. But the bigger idea is very obvious what's going on. And that's the following. What the Gemara is trying to say, whether it quotes Ibai Mafkir Nikse or not, and it's still important to know when it does and when it doesn't, what the Gemara is really trying to say is that demai is not macholas asuros, not a chepter shalish. Because then an onion and an aksanya wouldn't be able to eat it. An onion and aksanya cannot eat tevel drabanan. And they can't eat other isurei drabanan either. There's no such heter. So, the fact that aniyam and aksanya were initially excluded from the gzeira of demai shows you that demai was never established as tevel drabanan. It's a chovas hagavra, it's a chiyuv afrasha, it's a matir, whatever it is. But it's not macholas asuros. And what the Gemara wants to say in all those cases is all those particular halachos depend on whether or not there's a chepsa shalisa or not. If you eat something that you're not allowed to eat, but there's no chepsa shalisa, there can still be a zimun. Even though you were osted, you violated a drabanan on bigavra, but you didn't put macholas asuros, even drabanan. And that's what's koveh for certain things. For shitufe mavos, we want to know, can this, theoretically, could everybody have a feast, you know, or eruve chatzeros? Could everybody eat this food? The answer is some of the people can't eat it because extraneously they're, you need a matir, but not because it's macholas asuros, drabanan. Sometimes the Gemara illustrates that by saying, Iboi mafkilanu. You might think, oh, it's a special din in Ani V'Achsanya. Everybody has access to this. Meaning the din of Ani V'Achsanya is applicable to every man. What, because Befoal he can do it? He doesn't need to do it Befoal in most cases. Just the fact that theoretically it could be done means that the Ani V'Achsanya reality, right, is consequential to him as well. So it's fascinating to trace, that's the Mishnah that we have here. All these dinim, some of them are treated differently. If you look at the Rambam and all the places, we're not going to do it now, so I'm going to move on. But Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, Hilchos Sukkah, Hilchos Matzah, et cetera, et cetera. The Mishnah itself is very fascinating. Hadmai, Ma'arvin bo, mishtatvin bo, mevarchin alav mezamnin alav mafrishin oso arom, ben hashmashos. Also, ben hashmashos is an interesting issue. Right? Typically, you're not allowed to mafrish truma with ben hashmashos, because it's considered tikkun. But you can do it for demai. Why? Only because it's rabbanan, or because it's not really tikkun achefza. It's simply a matir for achilas agavra. So this becomes a whole window into how different areas of halacha, what do they require? What things depend on, the suffix which generates the vaday? What things depend on the vaday? What things depend on, iser gavra? What things depend on chefza shel iser? Etc. Okay, so this is a massive demai topic, and it really extends to many other issues. Okay, and take questions for a minute, and then I want to move on just to the next Gemara and talk about that. Are there any questions? I'm always suspicious when there are no questions, but everybody can hear me.
Can you be Mekadosh and Isha with demai?
Sorry. Yes.
Can you be Mekadosh?
Yes. But you can be Mekadosh and Isha probably with Tevel too, because it's not Asur B'Hana. Uh-huh. The Kiddusha doesn't depend on Macholos Asuras. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's continue to the next Gemara, which we touched on, and I want to discuss it for a couple of minutes as well. Again, there's much more in Demai, but our time is... We have to figure out our schedule, when we're going to break. But let's continue on for the moment to Vav Amud. So we discussed the Gemara here on Vav Amud. Again, in the context of Kabbalah. I want to discuss another aspect of that. So the Gemara says in the Amud Beis, to go over it again. In the middle of the page, the Gemara says, "Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz ben Chamiv shel Rabbi Meir, lefnei Rabbi al Rabbi Meir shachal ala shol yarek v'beit shan." Right, so he reported that he witnessed Rabbi Meir, who seemingly ate a yerek, a piece of vegetable, in Beit Shan without being mafresh trumas and maestras. So the Gemara says, "Hitir Rabbi as Beit Shan kula al yada." Is everybody hearing me? By the way, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, so then the Gemara says, you know, that he, again, he took this lesson, this anecdote, and he assumed that it meant that the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael did not include Beit Shan. Says the Gemara, Chibru Olav Echav Ubeis Aviv. So his family members ganged up on him, right? And Amr Lo, Mokrim Shavasecha V'Avasavasecha Ndogabu Iser Ata Tinhogbo Heter. When your family Masora is that Beit Shan is part of the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to treat it as if it's not. So then the Gemara says, Darsh Lahin Mikrazeh, the Chitek Nachashan Choshas Asher Asam Moshe, and the Psukim is the Parshas that we're now reading in Bamidbar, right? So what was the point of all this? So he explains, Efshar ba'asa lo biro, ba'yoshafad v'lo biro, alakol avod azar shib, olamasa v'yoshafad biarum. But Asa and Yoshafad tried to purge Klal Yisrael of any vestiges of avod azara, and they left this Nechushtan there. So why did he purge it? I mean, why did he diverge from the practice, from the psak of those who preceded him? Elan Mokam Inichala Avos of these Ganderbo. From this we learn the principle that every generation, the poskim, have not only the right, but really the responsibility, right, to assess things in their own way, not to have an agenda of change, but to have the old agenda of honesty and authenticity, you know, in a search for truth. So even though it was different than his predecessors, still mokom inichalav osav lizgaderbo, as long as he is properly authorized, authentic, qualified to render this kind of psak, right? So he is perfectly valid. It's perfectly valid for him to do so. So Afani, same thing. It's true that our family tradition is that Beit Shan is part of the Gvulos of Eretz Yisrael. However, he's saying, I've reassessed that in light of the story of Rabbi Meir. Then the Gemara says, again, the fascinating Gemara, Mikan the Talmud Chacham Shomer Dvar Halacha Shein Mazichin Oso Brahma Ein Mazichin Oso V'Amrla Ein Mazichin Oso. It's three different points, which I don't want to get to right now, but basically meaning don't harass, don't mock, don't second guess a qualified, key word here is qualified, Talmud Chacham, a responsible Talmud Chacham, right, who is saying a Dvar Chiddush, you should treat that respectfully. So then the Gemara says, Mandar Mamazchichin, Kisiv Elizach Achoshen, Mandar Mein Mazchichin, Kila Yiznach Leolam Hashem, Mandar Mamazchichin, Tam Bisha Rabu Zechuche Halev, Rabu Macholkes B'Yisrael, to explain these terms, which again, we're skipping for now. Then the Gemara says,
Harav?
Yeah.
Harav?
Yes.
How was it just Parsha Peshat? From Thiskia,
there was a Avodah Zarah. He got rid of Avodah Zarah. That does not compare to saying that Beit Shan is part of Israel or not. One is definitely does. He was not mechadish any halacha Chizkiyah. He got rid of Avodah Zarah. The other person is dealing. They're two different things.
Well, I think what they're saying is that implicitly, I mean, here's the argument. You have to look at the Mefarshim. I don't want to get into it right now, but what they're saying implicitly is that Asa and Yehoshaphat were oker all known I guess defined Avodah Zarah. And therefore, if they didn't neutralize this particular, it's because they understood that it had a different status. And by he treating it as Avodah Zarah, he implicitly was challenging, you know, their psak or their, mesorah, their behavior. So I agree with you. It's you know, the question of being machmir and being make. He was machmir. They were makel. I'm sorry. He's being makel. They were being mach. He was being machmir. I think there are many, many differences, but the common denominator is if respectful predecessors, right, had a certain halachic policy, right, then is there any reason, you know, for us ever to diverge from it? Maybe the only time that you need new psak is when you have new issues or, I mean, that would be the Havamina. You know, when you have a new situation and you don't know how the predecessors, you know, respected predecessors would have paskin. So under those conditions, right, you need, you know, a new posek, you know, or to apply the nuance, same idea, basically. However, in opposition to a previous, you know, respected predecessor, there's no room for innovative, you know, or relative to what was, you know, new or innovative psak. So while there are important differences, I think you're totally right, there's still plenty common denominator to understand, you know, what the question was. And the principle is the same, and that is that the Dayan, if he is qualified, that's a big if, we're assuming that here, the qualified Dayan is not only allowed to, but is obligated to call it as he sees it. Ein le Dayan elama she'einav ros. And that's what we mean when we say Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. You always prefer Shmuel to Yiftach, but if Yiftach is the qualified Dayan of his generation, then it's his obligation to weigh in. There's still, listen, in the world of halakha, there's still, you know, Ein Mevatlin, you know, Bezdin, you know, Estivir Bezdin Chaveirad, Shegadol Menu B'chachum B'minyan. There's a whole, you know, literature about this. It's a very complicated question, very practical question in every generation, but how we deal with precedent and how we deal with status quo psak, you know, and when on the basis of conviction or new evidence or a different perspective, you know, when you justify differences. So it's a massive topic. So you're right, there are differences, but certainly there is a common denominator as well.
You know, Rabbi Rosenfeld, I found it very interesting that the word lehid gader is a constraint. And Rashi says it's lehid gadel. So how do you go from lehid gader or lehid gadel? So I was saying that when a person wants to make his contribution, it should always be with the proper respect and constraint of his predecessors. You shouldn't just, you know, be a show-off.
I know, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Again, this is a very, as I say, this is a very, very delicate issue. And it's an issue, I mean, we're all familiar with it. Because the reason we're familiar with it is because it's very relevant in our time. But what people don't understand is that it's very, full, at least not sufficiently, is that it's very relevant in every time. In every generation, again, the dynamic is sometimes different. You know, what it is that you're contending with. But this idea of, you know, Rabim Chalalami Pila Tsuim Kala Rugeha, you know, Misha Igila Hora Veina Mora, Misha Lo Igila Hora Ma, Shualim Ktani. This question of, you know, hierarchy goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu in Yisro. right?
Yeah.
The Dvarim HaChashuvim and the Dvarim HaGadolim. It had to. It's endemic. It's built in to the Rebbe-Talmud relationship and the search for truth, and a Torah which was handed to human beings, but with a very specific methodology that it also includes Kavod Rabbo, you know, and the authority of Rabbo, you know, and, you know, being Moreh HaRab b'fnei Rabbo being an issue and a problem. So from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, literally, as we know, the problem of what the exact Eldon Medan Misnabim B'machne, Yeshua thought that they were being Moreh Halacha Shalom b'fnei Rabbo, and Moshe Rabbeinu thought that they were,
right,
they were doing the right thing. I mean, there are different versions, you know, different versions.
No, I'm just trying to say it's lame.
But I'm saying from the very beginning of time, of halachic time, you know, there has been, listen, myself was Simon Labanim, and, you know, Yitzhak Avinu tried to follow everything that Avraham Avinu did. And we also know that he was different. And Yaakov, I always like to explain, was told to cultivate his Avraham personality, you know, after initially being, you know, someone who perceived himself as a Yitzchak kind of personality. And then he went back to Yitzchak when he finished cultivating some of the Avram side in Parshas Vayetze. Again, there's a lot of, I'm saying Bekitzur, there's a lot of I wouldn't say Drush, I would say Parshanut, you know, that I'm referring to. So from the very, very, very beginning,
very good. And
it couldn't have been otherwise, because this is part of the human condition, you know, people have their own convictions. You know, B'nai Torah over the Hashem also have an extra dose of Yira, you know, both to make sure that they're not misleading the Tzibor, and especially the Yira that reflects, you know, their, you know, the stature of their Rebbeim, you know, who brought them, you know, L'chai Olam Haba, and brought them to this place, this Olam Haba place in Olam Hazeh as well. So it's an old problem. And I think you're right, that Moko Minicho Lehizgadel through Lehizgader is a very dialectical way of, on the one hand, capturing, you know, the glory and the impulse, the good part of the Yetzer Hara too, you know, to follow your conviction and, you know, and to let your ego help you get there, and at the same time to make sure that it really isn't egocentric and that it's his God there.
Okay, very good.
Bishnei Yitzrach, 100%. So the Gemara says, listen, Maskifla, the Gemara says, Maskifla Yehuda Breid Rab Shim Ben Pazi, who mi ika lamanda amar de Beit Shan lav meretz Yisraeli, so from those psukim in Shoftim, it seems clear that Beit Shan is part of the boundaries, it's part of the territory of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. How could there be a Rav Meir, a Rebbe? How could they think that Beit Shan was excluded? So here the good side I want to talk about for a couple of minutes. So the Gemara says, "Ishtamitate hoda Amar Rab Shimon ben Elyakim Mishum Rab Elazar ben Pedas." Amar Mishum Elazar ben Shemua, sorry, which was Harbe Krochim Kivshu Ole Mitzrayim, Velo Kivshum Ole Bavel. Basically, the geography of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yehoshua, right, was not reproduced, right, in the time of Ezra. Harbe krochem kivshu ole Mitzrayim velo kivshim ole Babel. And then the Gemara goes on to elaborate. The kasavar kedusha rishona kidsha l'shaita velo kidsha le'osid lavo. Meaning, if you held that the first kedusha, maybe the kedusha of the kibush of Yehoshua, was eternally enduring, so then it wouldn't matter whether the geographic you know, inhabited space of Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra measured up, you know, to that of Yehoshua. It would be irrelevant. Because either way, the boundaries of Yehoshua would be Koveya, even after the Churban, even during the period of Ezra and beyond, it would be Koveya for Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But this man, Omar, holds that Kedusha Rishona, the Kedusha of Yehoshua through Kibush, Kitchel Shaita, but lo Kitchel Yasid Lavo, right? And therefore, at the time of Ezra, it was a new, disconnected Kedusha, and that Kedusha did not include Beit Shan. Why not? Why didn't they include Beit Shan? Maybe they could have. It sounds like they could have. So here the Gemara says a fascinating thing, and that is, V'inichum k'deish yismuchu aleim aniyim b'shvius. They intentionally did not include Beit Shan in those borders, in those boundaries, precisely because they wanted to make sure there would be a haven for aniyim during the Shemitah year. Okay. So, I want to discuss this Gemara just a little bit. Of course, the first point to discuss very quickly is just the phenomenon itself, just to pause and appreciate, you know, the importance and the implications of this. Namely, they could have invested Beit Shan with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's not a small thing. Obviously, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is something which, you know, we consider to be of great consequence. I mentioned before in the previous sugya that maybe one of the reasons that we are so risk averse when it comes to Tevel is because matters of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael are national issues. Not just another mitzvah, right? It is, you know, a mitzvah which kind of defines, you know, the national character of Klal Yisrael. So then when you consider that you have a place like Beit Shan, it could have been a place that was invested with Kedusha Shniyah in the time of Ezra, but that they intentionally decided to exclude it, Kedei Sheyismuchu Aleihem Aniyim B'Shvius, it's a very shocking thing. What it says is two things, or what it says is two related things. Number one, of course, this is an issue of tzedakah. Here's a situation where you have a conflict between Kedusha Sa'aretz and tzedakah, right? The welfare of a sizable portion, sadly, a vulnerable population in Klal Yisrael. And the decision was made, I'm sure with a heavy heart, that Kedeshius Mechuaniyim B'Shvius is going to take priority.
Harav, isn't that antithetical to the whole hashkafa of Shvius? Shvius is the time to show. Shvius is the time to show the ultimate bitachon in Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's the time when you don't have to worry about the aniyim. Hashem Yisbarach is taking care of everybody in that year. That's the whole idea of Shvius. Bitachon demuna and bitachon emuna about Hashem Yisbarach. You're going to think a way of how to do it. That's not your achrayus. It's Hashem's going to take care of them.
It's a good question, but it's not. I'll just give you the parallel to it, and that is, you know, as everybody is very familiar, you know, there's a massive modern debate, you know, which began before the 1948, of course, but when people started returning to Eretz Yisrael, and the question is what to do about the Shemitah year. There was this mechanism, as you know, the Heter Mechira, to sell the karka during Shemitah year. The impulse, of course, was that it was perceived that the economic viability of the then Yishuv was undercut or threatened. It wouldn't have been viable, right, if all of the dinim of Shvius had been imposed on that seaboard. And therefore, again, with a very heavy heart, and much deliberation and much controversy. There were many great poskim who lent their authority to what was called the Heter Mechira. And this continues to be an issue up to our time. Again, a little less urgent now because the economics of it have changed. But even then, in the exchanges between the Gedolei Achronim and Poskim of the last 150 years, I guess, and the greats were all involved on different sides of this debate. So one of the main issues that was discussed is the question that you just raised, that Dr. Maybrook just raised. And that is, you're making concessions, for the sake of, economic survival, and essentially Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and more. The whole point of Shvius is that it's a time of bitachon, it's a time of emuna, right? It Shabbos LaHashem, it really tests, our faith. The Torah itself says, that no one's going to suffer, from observing Shvius. And on the contrary, if you abuse Shvius, that you lose your right to Eretz Yisrael, and Golus is connected to abusing Shvius, and so on. So in that exchange, you have a lot of very passionate, very lively discussion. And the other side of the coin, among equally committed and equally passionate, Talmid Chachamim, who believe just as much in the notion of Ashkacha and Amunah and Bitachon, was that, when there are other factors at stake, meaning not everybody in Klal Yisrael is necessarily Ru'uyim Lekach, then the absolute Havtacha of Shvius is not something that we can completely rely upon, right? It's a question. And therefore, you have to do your Hishtadlus. So what they tried to do is rely on it as little, to apply it as little as they had to, and to even for that population, provide that there would be lands that they didn't sell, in the context of the Heter Mechira, where they could practice a full Shemitah. But the idea of making concessions when you feel that the Tzibur is not as deserving of Hashgachas and Avtachas Hashem, as it should be, that becomes the achrayi thing to do, as I say, has its echo there, but much earlier in this particular case. Now, again, here it's a little bit different for another reason, and that is, we're dealing with a tabula rasa. In other words, the case I just discussed, which is briefly touched on, the Heter Mechira, is a case where you have boundaries, you have lands that are certainly part of Eretz Yisrael in every way, and Kedushas, Mitzvos Tluyos Ba'aretz, including Shemitah, devolve upon them. And then the question is, can you every 7 years employ, some sort of, effective, hopefully, that's part of the discussion too,
whether it works.
Effective mechanism,
I'll let you know,
right, to preclude, the imposition of these isur.
Lindy, he said he's going
to. In the case of the Gemara, we're talking about something else. We're talking about, I'd say, a blank slate at the time of Ezra. They were beginning to invest, Eretz Yisrael again, anew, with Kedusha. And in this context, the question is, whether it be Tafasta Meruba, or not. And we're talking about ignoring lands which had Kedushas Shemitah, which would be subject even more so to your question about Bitachon. But they were writing policy for their time, and they were suggesting that, given the imperfection of the Tzibur, maybe having a smaller Eretz Yisrael, which would put less pressure on people, to violate Isurim or to ignore the plight of the poor, would be a better solution. So it is a little bit different. And again, everything that you said is true, and that's why I brought the parallel that I brought. but we are talking about a slightly different situation. There's still plenty of Eretz Yisrael to go around that's going to have Kedushas Shemitah and Trumos and Maisos, etc. We're talking about Meirosh and drawing the borders, you know, whether leaving something out, you know, for the purpose of this. Anyways, what I'd like to suggest just a little bit, you know, to mitigate this even just a little bit more in light of your question and just in general, is something that I mentioned about Tevel in the other direction. And that is that Dinei Eretz Yisrael, Mitchilo v'Adsof, many or most of them, in my opinion, always need to be seen in the context of Klal Yisrael, of Am Yisrael as a nation. Of course, individuals who you know, confront questions of Mitzvot Tlis Ba'aretz have individual obligations as well. But when we talk about the totality, the you know, the group of halachos, hilchos, Eretz Yisrael, often what we're talking about is the national character of Klal Yisrael itself. This is something that the tzibur as a collective mostly engages. And I think that's, I said before, one of the reasons why, you know, being machmir, you know, and being risk averse when it comes to Safek Tevel is so important, because it isn't just an individual violation. The reason it's such a severe onesh is because it goes to the heart of Kedushas Karka, which has to do with which is about the national headquarters of the Jewish people, which means by extension, it's about the national corporate character of the Jewish people. And that is very significant. If that's the case, this is a suggestion, then the idea of, you know, leaving, you know, making this, again, calculated strategic decision, Meirosh, Kadesh Yismuch Aleim Aniyim Bishvias, I think it should be looked at in that way as well. Not as a clash between Kedushas Haaretz and or Bitachon and Kedushas Haaretz on the one hand and the financial need of Aniyim. But seeing this also as part of the agenda of Klal Yisrael. And particularly when it comes to Shemitah, by the way. So I think the case could be made. I mean, there are a lot of things to say about Shemitah, Shabbos Lashem, certainly Kili Haaretz, Li Kedusha Haaretz. Certainly, it's sufficient to say, you know, that that Dinei Mitzvah Tlis Baaretz, and especially Shemitah, even more than anything else, highlights that, you know, while we may think that we're the Bailim over Eretz Yisrael, right, we're not. It belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But I think another very major theme in Shemitah is the idea that for that time period, we give up or we relinquish expressions of individual ownership, right, for the sake of collective Klal Yisrael ownership. We go back in a way to the moment when we were Nichnas Eretz Yisrael, certainly before the 14 years of Chalukas Haaretz, you know, when things changed. Part of the theme of Shemitah is the theme of collective Klal Yisrael ownership. And therefore, in calculating, you know, Kadesh Yismuch Aniyim as a collective responsibility of Klal Yisrael, right, it becomes kind of an internal calculus rather than a clash, whether it's on the level of bitachon or the level of halacha itself, right, between two completely unrelated principles. Okay, so that is one aspect. The second aspect, and should we try to have a shiur next week also? Maybe that'll be sure. Do one in July. Are people around still or not?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
After that, I'm probably going to be, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. But certainly next week we can try.
Monday next week.
What's that?
We'll take whatever we can get.
Oh, is next week a holiday? What is next week?
Friday's the holiday.
Okay, so Monday's good.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see from there. So what I want to pick up with, I guess, then, is the second point, and that is why would it be true, or what happens to the Kedusha of Ezra? So Rashi here explains that the second Kedusha, the Gemara really only explains that the Kedusha Rishona of Yehoshua, the Kibush, was batel. The Kibush of Yehoshua was batel at the time of the Korban. Then Rashi, that's what the Gemara says. What about the Kedusha of Ezra? That the Gemara doesn't tell us what happened, what the fate of that was. Rashi, right, does suggest that while Kedusha Rishon Kitchel the Shaita Velo Kitchel Yasid Lavo, that Kedusha Shnia was Kitcha Liyasid Lavo. Oh. And certainly if there's any doubt about it, this is certainly the view of the Rambam. Rambam, in a very famous passage in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, says very explicitly, and he repeats this in Hilchos Trumos in the beginning as well. Maybe next week we'll give you a little bit of Mar Makomos for that. But the Rambam explains that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is a Kedusha Sashchina, which is Eina Betela. This is Perek Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha Tesvav. Lefikach makrivin akarbonos. I'm sorry. Halacha Yudalid. Kol mokom shelo nase b'kol elu b'seder hazeh ein kiddush gamur. B'zeh she'asa Ezra shtei todo zichron hu she'asa v'lo maisav v'skadi shamokom t'roi Hashem lo melech v'lo urim v'tumim. U'bamen iskadsha, referring to Kedusha HaSamikdash, B'Kedusha Rishona she'kidsha Shlomo, she'u kidsha Hazar of Yerushalayim l'shaitan, v'kidsha liyasid lavo. Okay, so the Kedusha Rishona of Shlomo of Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash was durable. It was permanent. Says the Rambam, Lefikach makrivin hakarbonos kulon afa bishein sham bayis banui. Therefore, in theory, you could be makriv karbonos even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, because the makom still has Kedusha. Ba'uchen kachim kadashim v'kol ha'azara afa bishi chreva. This is referring to Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he says, V'lam ani omer b'mikdash Yerushalayim k'dusha rishona k'dusha liyasad lavo u'b'k'dusha shar Eretz Yisrael linyan shviyas u'maisros v'kayotza behen lo k'dusha liyasad lavo. Why is it that when it comes to Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, the earlier kibush was enduring, even though that's not true about the rest of Eretz Yisrael? Lefisha kedushas haMikdash Yerushalayim b'nei Hashchina, u'Shchina in a betel. Because the kedusha of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim is due to the presence of the Shchina, which is never batel. Barei Omer v'hashimosias Mikdash Eichem. Because it was a conquest of Klal Yisrael, the Kim Shinuk Chartz Midehem, and once it was taken away from them, Batala Kibush, the Niftar Min HaTorah, at that point, they were exempt Min HaTorah, Mi Maisros, Mi Shvius. Sorry, Einam Eretz Yisrael, strong language which we'll get to. Kivin Sha'ala Ezra v'kidsha, lo kidsha b'kibush, ela b'chazaka, shechzikuba, ulefika komokom shechzikuba ela bavel, in skadish b'kidushas Ezra Shnia, hu mekudish hayom. Afapishin nilka ha'aretz mimenu, v'chaye b'shviya sumaisras, al derek shabyarnu b'chostrum. You have to look at Chostrum as well. So what's fascinating is the Rambam's view, which he has in these two places, that is that Kedusha Rishona, with regard to Eretz Yisrael, was Kidsha l'shaita v'lo kitchel yosid lavo, but kedushas Ezra was kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel yosid lavo. But the Rambam actually implicitly tackles the question, and that is why. Now, if you look at our Gemara, this is the point I want to leave you with. The Gemara characterizes what happened in Yoshua, what happened with Ezra, in fundamentally as being the same. The Gemara says, "Harbe krochem kivshu moli Mitzrayim, velo kivshum ole Babel." The geography of Ezra was smaller than that of Yoshua, but both are characterized in this Gemara as acts of kibush. But if you look very, so then the question is, if you hold this way, is it possible to say that the kibush of Yoshua was batel in its korban, but the kibush of Ezra was not batel in its korban? Why should that be this case? So ever so subtly, the Rambam changed the narrative. And even though the Gemara says kivshum kivshum, what the Rambam says is, that's what I just read, I'll read it next time more carefully, that the Yoshua invested Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha through Kibush. But Ezra invested Eretz Yisrael in Kedusha through Chazaka, through Yeshiva. And apparently that's the difference. And the question is why? Why is kibush less effective than chazaka or yeshiva? Or is it even less effective? So that's what I want to pick up with, the details and the implications of that and a few other things about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael that emerge from this particular Gemara. And then we'll see about going forward. Okay, but next week we certainly have, all things being equal, we have a shiur next Monday night. If people